Today, as we come to the table,
he drew a line right down the middle. There were people that had nothing to do with him, and there were crowds of people that said, "We love you." Jesus said, "I've not come to bring peace on the earth, but a sword to divide even families." Again, blows the whole Christmas card image, doesn't it? But we have to understand what the whole background of that doesn't mean that the Lord wants to divide. It doesn't mean that the Lord wants to be something that's a problem in families or others' life. What he's saying is, when I present the truth and the only doorway to get into heaven, some people are going to get mad at that. They're going to think it's prideful. They're going to think it's arrogant. They're going to think it's narrow-minded. They're going to give it all kinds of names. But for those who believe, you will enter into the kingdom of God and be saved forever.
As a follower of Jesus, you have been tasked with telling others about him. He wants you to share the good news that everyone can be saved from sin, just as you have been. But sometimes it seems overwhelming when it seems like no one's listening. It can get discouraging when they don't believe you. But as Pastor Mark will tell you today, it's not your job to win them over. Well, thanks for staying with us today as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Pastor Mark Kirk of Calvary Knoxville. You are God's messenger, period. You're just called to tell people about him, not to save them. God will take care of that part. You simply get to trust him and let him move. Plant the seed and let the Lord grow the faith. Let's join Pastor Mark in the book of Exodus chapter 3 for the beginning of God's message of hope in the midst of oppression.
Let's open our Bibles to Exodus. Exodus chapter 3. We're covering tonight verses 15 through 22, but remembering last week in verse 13 and 14, then Moses said to God, "Indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, 'The God of your fathers has sent me to you,' and they say to me, 'What's his name?' Well, what shall I say to them?" And God said to Moses, "I am who I am." I love that. Isn't that great? No introduction needed. I am who I am. And he said, "Thus you shall say to the children of Israel, 'I am has sent you.'" And that is really what the whole foundation of tonight, as we get into these next few verses, 15 through 22, God has just told Moses, you know what? Moses said, "Who are you?" He's like, "Look, I don't need explanation. Everyone knows in their heart that I exist. They may not know everything about me, but they know I exist. And how do I know that? Because the Bible says that God has put into the heart of every man the existence of God." Isn't that awesome? And not just the existence of a God, but we all know, every one of us in the world, across the globe, I don't care what country, I don't care where, it doesn't matter. The Bible says that God has put in the heart of every single human that he is God, he alone is God, and he's in the heavenlies. Anything other than that must be learned and taught by culture or false religion. That means that every atheist is a liar, according to the word of God. They know there's a God. God said, "I am who I am." And the Bible says that God has put it in man's heart. He's put eternity in man's heart. We all know there's going to be a God. We all know that one day we're going to stand before him and be accountable. Now, we don't know his name until somebody tells us. We don't know anything about him until we read the Bible. But God puts it in there. I exist. I am. I just am. And we all know that. And I, you know, as a child, I knew that. Nobody had to teach me there was a God. I knew there was a God. And again, we just learned that. So you go to different cultures and you see different gods that are taught. But the bottom line is what Satan does, Satan comes in and takes the truth of the one true God, and he tries to confuse and pull people away to eternal damnation by teaching other gods and other ways and other things. And it's all false. So our job is to say, "All right, God, you've called us. We go tell the world the truth." This is what's happening with Moses. They had all these false gods down in Egypt, multitudes of them. And now God all of a sudden calls Moses and said, "Look, they know that I exist. I am who I am. There's no, who shall I say you are?" There's no explanation needed. You go and tell them the God of the universe has sent you, and every man will know in his heart the truth. Now they have a choice to make at that moment. Are they going to reject it? Are they going to receive it? Many will reject it by pride, by arrogance, by the fact that, "Oh, I'm right and you're wrong," and all the different things. But they know in their heart the truth. So you go and tell them. And this is really where God's drilling Moses tonight in this passage. He's saying, you just let them know that I am who I am. You tell them that I've sent you. The children of Israel will know because they know the God of Abraham. And that has been passed down, you know, through the tradition of the Jews. And even the Egyptians who will listen, they can be saved as well. You know, somebody said to me just the last week or two, hey, what if the Egyptians, or what if, you know, what if they put the blood on their house, but they weren't saved? You know, they just put the blood on the house. Would they be protected? Yes. The Bible said that anyone that put the blood on their home, the death angel would pass over. That doesn't mean necessarily they'd go to heaven, but that was what God said. You trust me enough to put the blood of the Lamb on your home, and the death angel will pass over because you're obeying me and you're trusting me. Now, they would obviously have to believe in the God of Israel and give their life to the God of Israel to enter into the kingdom of God. But the only thing God required was the blood of the Lamb be on that home. And he was making a picture. There's going to be a sacrifice down the road, a Lamb, the Lamb of God, sacrificed on the cross for the sins of the world. And everyone who puts that blood on their home, I will pass over in judgment. I'll give them eternal life. And so Moses is now the messenger that God is giving him. Last week, here's who I am. This week, here's the message. And what's the message? The God of heaven, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is sending you to them, Moses. And if they'll believe, then they'll follow you and they'll be saved, not only eternally, but saved from Egypt. And that's your job. So, you know, and that really sums up what tonight's all about. Guys, we are ambassadors. We're ambassadors of the Lord. And we're the ones that bring the message. We're the ones that go to those who have the false religions and the false doctrines. And we say, you know what? Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. Who made you the authority? Nobody made me the authority. God's the authority. I'm simply his messenger. You know, a lot of times when you go and give the message, a lot of people will say, well, how can you say? Really, the answer should be, I'm not. I'm simply passing on the message. I'm the heavenly postman. God has written you a letter. It's your job whether or not you want to believe it, whether or not you want to open it and read it. He's put his stamp on it. It's the stamp and the seal of the Holy Spirit. And everybody who believes it is going to be delivered. So the bottom line is that's what God has called us to do. We're his spokesman. We're his ambassadors. We're to go to all the world and do this. And now Moses is being called to do this. The problem with Moses and the problem with many of us is we do everything we can to get out of it. Nobody likes to be the odd man out. Nobody likes to be awkward. Nobody likes to be called, whatever the names are. And I'll tell you what, if you really are on fire for Jesus, you're going to get a name. It's going to be called radical. Nobody wants to be thought of as radical. But you know what? Jesus was radical. If Jesus lived today, he would be classified as what? I guarantee you, he would be radical. Can you imagine him showing up in the middle of anywhere? But especially here with the attitudes in America, we know our culture. Hey, every other religion's a lie. All of you are false. I'm the only way you can't get to heaven except by me. How do you think he'd be treated by our culture? You're a radical. You're an extremist. You're whatever. You're not in bad company if somebody calls you that. Now, if they're using radical or extremist to mean that you're violent or obnoxious, well, then stop it. There's no excuse for that. We're to be loving. We're to be kind. But if you stand for the truth of God's word, you stand out from the crowd. That's just the reality of it. You can't help it. And when you begin to share the truth of the Lord, you're going to stand out. That's okay. Jesus stood out. Jesus stood out so much that those who loved him followed him. Those who didn't follow him. He was a great divider. He drew a line right down the middle. There were people that had nothing to do with him. And there were crowds of people that said, we love you. Jesus said, I've not come to bring peace on the earth, but a sword to divide, even families. Again, blows the whole Christmas card image, doesn't it? But we have to understand what the whole background of that doesn't mean that the Lord wants to divide. It doesn't mean that the Lord wants to be something that's a problem in families or others. Like what he's saying is, when I present the truth and the only doorway to get into heaven, some people are going to get mad at that. They're going to think it's prideful. They're going to think it's arrogant. They're going to think it's narrow-minded. They're going to give it all kinds of names. But for those who believe, you will enter into the kingdom of God and be saved forever. We are the messengers. Moses is the messenger. You know, Moses has all these excuses. We already saw him say, who am I? You know, I get on this whole thing. I can't do this. Who am I? And God said, what do you mean, who are you? I made you. You're Moses. And so that's who you are. You know, well, now who will I say sent me? I mean, I don't have any. What's your name? There's lots of gods out there. It could be Allah. Could be Buddha. Could be Krishna. Could be whoever. There's lots of gods. Well, how are they going to believe that I really have the right one? He said, hey, I am who I am. I don't have to defend myself. I love it. I think it was Charles Spurgeon. I've made that quote before, but I can't find it again, so it drives me crazy. But one of those great guys like Charles Spurgeon, someone in the past said this quote. If I find it again, I'm going to write it down. And if you find it, please get it for me. And if I made it up, then praise the Lord. That's awesome. But I don't think I did. But he said, you know what? Here's what he said. He said, the Bible doesn't need defending. It's like a lion. You just open the cage and let it out. It can take care of itself. That's the word of God. You're always going to have people that mock. They're always going to be there. But God's word will stand on its own, and God's word has been proven to be true, and God's word will show itself to be true in the very end. Isn't that great? And so he's saying to Moses, you know what? Don't make excuses. Don't worry about what the others say. Don't worry about trying to be all-inclusive and please everybody. You need a backbone. And again, backbone doesn't mean obnoxious and rude. All right? I've seen guys who present the gospel in a very obnoxious and rude way. That's not palatable to anyone. Nobody wants to be yelled at. And nobody wants to be, you know, screamed at. But we just speak the truth in love. This is what he's calling Moses to do. So we belong to him. If we belong to him, he's revealed himself to us. And he's called each of us to go and share it. Yeah, does it make us sometimes feel uncomfortable? No doubt it did Moses. He's trying to get out of it. I don't want to go do this. I got to go stand before the president and tell him that God told him to repent. I'm giving it a modern day application. The president would have been like Pharaoh in that day. And it would have been like God calling a man saying, yeah, go stand, go to the White House, get a meeting with the president, take some elders from the leadership of the church and say, you know what, you need to repent, you're in sin. Now, I'm not making comments about our current president. This is not a political statement, let's make that clear. I'm giving you a context of any president, any time, any leader. This is what this is like. I remember Mike McIntosh. You guys, if you listen to 101.1, you've heard Mike McIntosh on there. And Mike, being an on-fire pastor with a gift of prophecy, when he came to the Lord, he really believed that God was telling him to go speak to the president. And he was the president at that time, was President Nixon, and Nixon had a home there on the beach, and he was at his home there, and Mike McIntosh had heard that he was there, and he said he and a buddy were there, and they're like their beach shorts and a shirt, and God's told us to go talk to the president. So they go to the president's house, and they stand at the gate and say, God has, you know, given us a message for the president. And the Secret Service comes out and goes, you know, who are you guys? You know, God has told us to come, and I forget what his message was for the president. You know, I don't think it was any some great rebuke or something. It was, you know, he loved the Lord, Mike did, and Mike was just going to share his heart. And he said that the Secret Service went back, you know, and told the president he was in there, and he said the president actually sent the Secret Service back and said, well, thank you very much. I wish I could meet with you. I can't right now because of whatever the reasons were, and he didn't come down. But he was kind enough to actually send a message back by the Secret Service saying, I would love to talk with you. I just can't right now. Thank you for coming by. I mean, I thought that was pretty amazing. That typically wouldn't happen. You know, stop at the president's house. And yeah, I'll be down in a minute. You know, got my robe on, you know, be there in a minute. It is funny. When we went to Washington a couple of years ago, we took a trip to Washington, and President Lincoln had a little cottage that was back behind the White House farther up north. I think it was up north where he would go and stay, and you could go visit him. There was a story in there about some guy showed up. You want to talk to the president? And he shows up at the house and says, I'm here to see the president. And he said, all right, come on in, have a seat. He said, I'll get him. He's, you know, so he goes to get the president. Lincoln was in bed. He got up out of bed to go visit this guy that he didn't know, who stopped by to visit him, came down there in his robe and sat down in his robe and talked to him. Now, that's a humble heart, isn't it? I look at that, wow, can you imagine a president that would do that today? I remember hearing a story about somebody really taken aback. Again, I use Billy Graham a lot because he's one of my heroes in the sense of just his humility and how God has used him. And somebody was talking about the fact they went somewhere where Billy Graham was. They really wanted to see Billy Graham, and they heard he was in there. And so they knocked on the door and said, can I please speak to Billy Graham? I just always wanted to meet him. I got something to say or whatever, this kind of thing. And Billy Graham had just got, I think it was some reporter, it was some major thing, you know, whatever. He had just come out of the shower and was in his bathrobe. And he said, well, come on in. And he sat down in his bathrobe and met with him, you know, and talked to him. I'm like, I would have been like, you know, give me like 30 minutes, you know, let me put something on. And I look at the humility of these people. They're just real. They're who they are. And it's like, well, you know, you got me in my bathrobe. Let's talk. I have no idea what that has to do with where we are tonight. Sometimes I get a little sidetracked there, you know, and everybody's kind of coming with me down this trail. We'll find our way out of these woods, I promise. So, but anyway, this is the message God gives to Moses. He's saying, look, Moses, don't give me this whole big thing. Why you can't do it? You're just an ordinary guy. You don't speak well. You're this. That's who I use. I use guys that come out and talk to people in bathrobes for crying out loud. That's who I use. Stop trying to be something you're not and just do what I've told you to do. And so Moses, again, trying to squirm out of everything he can. And now we see the message. That's God saying, I am who I am. Here's the message. Now, tonight, we're not going to see any more of Moses' excuses. We're going to see them when we get into chapter 4. The rest of his excuses. But now to finish out chapter 3, we're going to see what the message was. And this is where we get into really the theme of tonight, God's message of hope in the midst of oppression, because the people were oppressed and he was sending Moses to give them that hope in the midst of their oppression, even as we are called to what? Give the people around us hope in the midst of the oppression today. Is there oppression today in America and the world? Do you guys feel it? Is there a loss of hope? Do you think there's a loss of hope? There's people that have gone bankrupt and lost everything they have. There's loss of hope all around us. The divorce rates, the drug rates, I mean, everything. It's a mess. So understand, there's an application to where we are today in being messengers of God. We are the Moseses of today. And so God has said, go to this world that's in oppression and doesn't have any hope. Give them hope. Let them know, even if you have nothing and you lose it all, rejoice. You have a place in heaven forever where you'll have more than you ever dreamed or imagined with Jesus Christ in glory. This is temporary. This is passing away. And if you'll simply believe, you'll not only be forgiven of everything you've ever done wrong, you're going to inherit a place in the kingdom. That's good news. God commissions him. Here's the message, Moses. Look at verse 15. Moreover, God said to Moses, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, here's the message, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. Wow, let me think of this message. Here you are trapped in Egypt as a slave and under this oppression, and this guy shows up that says, God Almighty, the God of heaven, the one that you know in your heart, whether you know him or not, because God says he's put it in everyone's heart, he has sent me to you to tell you that God loves you. He sent me to do that, and that God's going to deliver you. And boy, you talk about being in a state of oppression and depression and hopelessness. This is like good news. Yes, I'm ready for this. He sent me to you. This is my name forever. That is the I am, and I am who I am. And this is my memorial to all generations. Go, gather the elders of Israel, that is the leaders, together, and say to them, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob, and they would have known that God, it was passed down to their culture and their people, appeared to me saying, so God himself has appeared to me. I'm coming now to give you the message. Their ears would have been attentive to this. Mine would have been saying, I have surely visited you and I've seen what is done to you in Egypt. What a great message for God to say, I see what you're going through. I've come and I've looked. I see what's happening in your marriage. I see what's happening in your finances. I see what's happening in your personal life. I see what's happening in your workplace. I see what's happening in whatever it is. I see it. God is saying that. Go tell them, I see it. And I think God would say to you tonight, I see it. I see what you're going through. I know what's happening. I know that. And now I'm giving you my word tonight to give you encouragement. I've come to set you free. I've come to deliver you. I've come to give you hope. Trust in me. Turn your eyes to me. Watch what I do. And it doesn't always come right away, does it? Sometimes it comes with delay. I mean, look at when Moses goes down, and we're going to see this later on. He goes to the people and tells them, God's come to set you free. Well, in my mind, that means like today. Well, let's go. Let's get out of here. Well, they had all this time yet to go, months to go. We don't know how long, we don't know for sure, but all the plagues and all the stuff. And get this, before they were set free, it got a lot worse. So oftentimes when God is going to do something new in your life and deliver you from wherever you are and whatever you're in, oftentimes it gets a lot worse before it gets better. Don't lose hope. God has a purpose. He's doing something. He says, I've visited you. I've seen what's going on. I know your plight. I know what's happening. Here's what God said to them. I will bring you up out of the affliction of Egypt. I love that. Because Egypt in Scripture is what? Type of the world. I will bring you up out of the affliction of the world. Lord, the world is so heavy on me right now. Everything's weighing me down. It seems like I can't get ahead. I mean, just the car breaks. After the car breaks, the stove breaks. After the stove breaks, you know, the whatever breaks. And everything's breaking. And you know how it seems to go in those waves. You know, probably you guys have had that happen. You know, we're in one of those right now. Everything's breaking. One thing breaks here, another thing breaks there, and just keeps breaking. Like, what's going on? It's like, it seems like you can't get a break because everything's breaking. And God knows that. God sees that. He says, I see the affliction. I see the weight of what you're going through, the affliction of Egypt. I've come to deliver you out of it to the land of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. Note this, to a land flowing with milk and honey. In other words, I'm going to take you from this oppression that you're in to a place of blessing. Trust me. Trust me. And so God tells him, gather the elders. Here's the official message. I've seen your difficulty. What a great message for us tonight, you know. And I've come to deliver you and to give you hope. And here's the hope you want to hear. And again, I hear this message about hope from God. I like to hear it. What do you think the unbeliever is going to feel like? If they have no hope in the world, we at least know that when we die, we're going to heaven. They don't know that. And when I read this, this gives me hope. God says he's going to take the oppression off of me and give me blessing again. I'm like, Lord, I want that. I have hope in this. How much more the world would have hope in this? And he says, I'm going to take you from the evil world And I'm going to take you to a new place of blessing beyond your wildest dreams. And what do I mean beyond your wildest dreams? He describes it as a land flowing with milk and honey. And the meaning here in the whole language means abundance in all the things you need to survive, and you'll be extremely blessed. Now, again, it doesn't mean necessarily financial blessing. Some teach that. The Bible doesn't teach that every believer is going to be rich or healthy and wealthy. And nowhere does the Bible teach that. That appeals to the flesh. And so that draws a big crowd. You know, I'd like to believe that God wanted me to be healthy and wealthy. And what am I need to do to get it? Give me all the money and I never get sick. You're going to get sick. Your family's going to get sick. Your kids are going to get sick. You're going to go through trauma. You're going to go through devastation sometimes. You're going to be wondering where the next bill's going to be. And you might be right exactly where God wants you to be. So don't get caught in that trap. But God says in the midst of it, I will bless you. I will bless you in the spirit. I will make sure that you're taken care of. And God is faithful to do that. Abundance is really the idea. Whenever you see land of milk and honey, he's really speaking of just God's abundant blessing. Milk speaks of milk of the abundant flocks. You know, if you had a lot of milk, there'd be a lot of flocks. And in that day, your wealth was based on your flocks. You know, if you had a bunch of flocks, then you were a very wealthy person. So he says, I'm going to bless you as a nation, make you a wealthy nation. Honey speaks of literal honey, as in bees' honey and date, the date fruit honey. Not your date, that is your honey, I don't mean that, but the date fruit. Some of y'all say, oh, that sounded funny when it came out, but the date fruit, but it's analogous. Here's the bottom line. The sweetness of the Lord will be in your life. I'm going to give you the sweetness of the Lord. And in some of the hardest times I've been in, the sweetness of the Lord is abundant in my life. I love it. And you know, when the sweetness of the Lord is in your life, you can just rest. It's a great place. That's God's blessing. He gives it to us today. You know, fullest, milk and honey. This is the message God says to go tell them. That's what I'm doing. Notice he says, then they will heed your voice, and you shall come, you and the elders of Israel, to the king of Egypt. And you shall say to him, the Lord God of the Hebrews has met with us. And now please let us go 3 days' journey into the wilderness that we may sacrifice to the Lord our God. So you get the elders together. You go talk to Pharaoh, this one who's oppressing you. And by the way, Pharaoh is a type of Satan in the scripture. Egypt, the time of the world. You go to Pharaoh, let him know, look, God has said he's going to give us, you know, deliver us from this. We're supposed to go a 3 days' journey and get away from this. So you guys go and let him know this message. And I love this because God tells Moses that the people will, they'll believe him and they'll heed his voice. The elders are going to go with him. There's going to be a 3 day journey into the wilderness in order to make a sacrifice unto the Lord. And we're going to see that Pharaoh doesn't like this very much for a couple of reasons. It's not hard to figure out. Pharaoh wouldn't like this. First of all, he's prideful. He's a prideful dictator. He's been abusing the Jews in Egypt as slaves. Secondly, he's already got his own gods. He doesn't believe in the real God. He's got his own gods, which he no doubt wouldn't listen to even if they were real, because he's so full of himself that Pharaohs believed they were gods, that they were a god in that day, and much less some new god who's claiming to be the God of the Hebrews. So you can rest assured that he would not do anything God said until he was forced to do, and that's exactly what's going to happen. God's going to force him to let him go. And he's not going to let him go until God forces him. But even under these circumstances, notice how gracious God is to this prideful Pharaoh. You know, I was thinking about this. God could have sent Moses in there to say, you know what? You will let us go whether you like it or not. You know, is it going to be by force? Or is it going to be willingly? But notice what God tells him to do. He says, just go and tell him, let my people go. God gives Pharaoh the choice.
The Old Testament book of Exodus might sound like a far-fetched plotline for a movie with lots of CGI, but the truth is, the accounts in Exodus actually happened, and there were startling results for the Israelites, as well as for the people of Egypt. God proved his sovereignty, reigning over weather, an entire nation's economy, and most importantly, the hearts of people. There was much loss and devastation that occurred due to consequences that God handed out in Egypt. But through this, he showed his might, power, and ability to bring his people who were imprisoned to a state of freedom. Now that's a plot line to get behind, seeing God bring about redemption on a grand scale. If you're wrestling with anything you've heard today about God or his ways, we'd be happy to talk with you and pray about anything that feels unsettling. You can fill out a question or comment form at thewaymedia.net. Under the Come to the Table link, you can also give our church office a call at 865-609-1385. Again, that's 865-609-1385. If you're in the Knoxville area, please come join us at Calvary Knoxville, Simply go to thewaymedia.net and find the link at the bottom of the homepage to get service times and directions. If you'd like to hear more teachings from this series, we encourage you to find them on thewaymedia.net or download the Way Media app. Pastor Mark has more to share from this book next time, so make sure to join us the next time we come to the table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.